lesson today. We're going to read this whole chapter, and I trust that a lot of times now, the other night we just read one verse of scripture. Tonight we're going to read a whole chapter, this morning, and trust that our Sunday school lesson will be a help and a blessing to you. Now, I want as you're turning there, this is the last writing of the Apostle Paul before he was executed. And you will notice in his writings, he intimates that, and we know. For he wrote 1 Timothy, and then Titus, and then 2 Timothy was his last writing. He wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Amen. And all of his writings are tremendously good. If you never took time, just sit down and read the writings, the epistles of Paul the Apostle. Amen. It would do you good to just do that. Make it a point to do that. Read some of it every day, and you'll be helped and blessed. So we want to start reading this morning at verse 1 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy. He wrote this from Rome at about 68 A.D. And I just want to give you this little excerpt while you're standing there. It appears that Paul was released from prison after the record that he gave us in Acts chapter 28, somewhere about 64 A.D., that he traveled for 5 or 6 years after that, going eastward into Macedonia and Asia Minor. And then he was arrested again and sent to Rome for execution after he wrote 2 Timothy. So this fourth chapter is the last writings of the Apostle Paul before he was executed. I think I want to talk to you this morning on a simple subject, your last words. I think your last words are important. And it gives an insight on your person, your character, how you live. And I'll probably give you some testimonies of people's last words this morning for this lesson today. And sometimes their last words don't mean a whole lot other than the fact that they're suffering. But some people's last words last a long time after they're gone. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You can understand his writing this because just in a little short time now, he's going to face the guillotine. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thou diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, and Grecians to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments, that is God's word. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Talk to me. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Twice in one chapter, he uses that word, amen. So, the Lord help us. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the importance of last words. Every one of the Apostle Paul's writings ends with amen. Every one of them. The only book of the New Testament that's not end with amen is the book of Acts. And there's no end of the book of Acts. It's the Acts of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is still moving in the church. But this word, amen, means trustworthy, surely, so be it. Amen. So be it. And after the amen of Timothy, tradition follows Paul and sees him break away from the soldiers that is carrying him to the Gallatin, and he runs toward the Gallatin. And there, as that knife is high, and he runs, so tradition tells us that he lays down on that bed, and his neck, where that knife is going to come down and sever his head from his body, and he lays there willingly. And that flashing blade sees the godly head rolling in the dust as that knife comes down and severs his head from his body. No wonder he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Somebody said, well, why did they kill him? Because he preached the gospel contrary to the time in which he was living. I want to tell you, we're living in a generation in America right now. We got people in this country that hate Christianity. They're tolerant of any religion except Christianity. You can read, the Arabs can read their Bible on the street corner anywhere. Nobody dares say anything. They can stop and at their hour of prayer and pray anywhere. But Christians are not allowed to do that. So, amen. That's the reason Paul lost his life. I thought it was probably this last chapter of his writings. I think it was a grand amen. So be it. Amen. And it may be that only in heaven Do we hear the grand amen as all of heaven looks on and sees the great apostle Paul, amen, as he gives his life for the cause of the gospel? Someone asked one time, said, how stood the old man at the last? Amen. Did he tremble? Did he apologize? Did he ask for mercy? How did the old man die? Amen. But the account is before us. This last chapter of his writings gives us an insight. Amen. Said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Amen. I think this apostle, as well as all the other writings of the apostle Paul, amen. When you look and read his writings, it's full of doctrine. It's full of great truths. It's full of solemn principles and burning convictions that he had within his own life. Now, I want to tell you, if you change your standards, I'm going to be in trouble here. If you change your standards and your convictions when you change churches, you didn't have much to start with. Amen. There's something got to be instilled inside of your heart that it is right to serve God, to live a holy life, separated, consecrated, sanctified unto the cause of the gospel. Amen. The apostle Paul, he's not drinking out of some silver goblet, amen, as some rich men do in the last moment, but he refreshes himself, amen, at Calvary's brow. Amen. To him, the gospel of Christ has always been the most important thing. I come to you not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The Calvary was the most important thing. And I tell you, y'all get this. If you don't can't remember it, write it down. I'm not old, but I am older. Amen. And I've seen a lot of changes in my lifetime. Amen. And I tell you, people that once stood for righteousness and holiness and sanctified living, amen, has changed so that you wonder, where did they come from? What was wrong with them inside? Amen. These shifty, white-faced, weak-kneed believers. Amen. Believe in what? I'm not sure what they even believe in, if they believe in anything. Amen. Speculators. They've stole the prophet's mantle and claimed to be something they are not. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, they are not of the church which we were born in. Amen. The Apostle Paul preaches to us out of this book, amen, of 2 Timothy, as his last writings. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. And then he says, reprove. What? Amen. Rebuke. What? In this day, that's what he said. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Amen. Don't come on here. Y'all stay with me. Amen. Holiness is not an ugly word. It is a Bible word. It is a godly word. Amen. And you don't, maybe I need to be careful here. You don't have to be mean and nasty and ugly to be holiness. Amen. Praise God. Paul, in his writings here to Timothy, he starts out in the letter to Timothy. He talks about my dearly beloved son. Amen. Timothy is Paul's son in the gospel. Amen. He's writing to him as a young man, and he's an older man. He's giving him some good instructions as things he ought to do and how he ought to live. And then he also talks about his family. Amen. It's good. It's good to have a good heritage that you can trust and lean on. He talks about Paul turned over Timothy's history. He talks about he remembered Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and Timothy's mother, Eunice. Amen. And he talks about their faith. Amen. And I'm of the opinion he felt like that Timothy had as much faith as both of them put together. Amen. An inheritor of faith. It's good. Thank God. I'm glad I had a godly mother. I'm glad I had a holiness preacher daddy come on here, taught us what was right. I'm not ashamed or embarrassed about that. Amen. And if you're ashamed and embarrassed about your godly heritage, amen, God have mercy on you. Amen. Now, you may be one that is downhearted because you didn't have a great-grandmother like Lois or a mother like Eunice in the gospel. But you can start a new generation. You can start it all over, and your children can look back and call you blessed. Your grandchildren can say, oh, I had a godly mother or a godly father. Amen. But I want to tell you, I'm feeling better here this morning. I don't know about y'all, but I want to tell you it's important to have a godly heritage. Amen. He said in chapter 1 of this wonderful epistle, amen, he starts out, stir up the gift of God, amen, that is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse 6 of chapter 1. Amen. What he is saying to Timothy is, fan the flame. Praise God. Amen. It may just be a little spark that you've got left down there. You're not doing as you maybe you ought to do and as you know to do. Amen. But look here, Timothy, stir that up. Amen. Get that fire burning again. Praise God. You may not this morning, you may not be living like you were raised to live and taught to live. Amen. But deep down inside of you, you know it's right. Fan that flame. Praise God. Amen. I'm an old country boy come to town. Amen. But I remember when we used to have to start a fire in a fireplace or in a wood stove. Amen. Just some coals in there that was left over from the last burning. And amen. I've seen my mother several times on the old wood cook stove. Amen. Just a little embers in there. And she would put some, are y'all still with me? She'd put some kindling in there. And then I would watch her as a boy. I would watch her as she would blow on the embers from left over from the last fire. She'd blow it until they would become white. And then she'd just ease, not a hard blow, just gradually blow until those white embers would start turning red. Amen. And then it would gradually catch the kindling wood on fire, and the fire was burning again. And I think maybe that might be what Paul is saying to Timothy. You know what's right, Timothy. You've been raised by a godly mama and grandma. You've been taught, amen. Your father was a Greek, and he didn't leave you much of spiritual heritage, but your mother and your grandmother, amen, amen. You know what they lived. Fan the flame, amen. Hold on to what you know is right. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. I want to tell you, fire, amen, is not something that just happens. Fire has got to be set. Fire has got to be on purpose. Praise God. Amen. Now, I know spontaneous combustion, there is such a thing. that when the temperature gets right and it's combustible material, amen, that I've seen that happen in a barn, amen, when hay is stacked up and it's hot in the summertime. I've seen that hay catch on fire by spontaneous combustion. But I want to tell you, that's not the normal. A fire has got to be started some way. Somebody's got to start the fire, or it's got to come from heaven. Amen. I want to tell you, praise God, there is no earthly Pentecost. Amen. This Pentecost of fire has got to come from the glory world. You believe that? Say amen. Stir up that gift. Amen. Get a hold of it right. Amen. Jesus said in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, I must needs be about my Father's business. John chapter 17 verse 4, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. In John chapter 19 verse 30, amen. Again, he said, it is finished. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said, I want y'all to get some of this. In Luke chapter 7 verse 32, I have piped to you, but you didn't dance. What's the problem? Amen. I preached to you. I gave you the word. I told you the truth. Amen. You've not responded as you ought to respond. And I say to this congregation this morning, you have had some of the best preachers preach from this pulpit that's ever walked in shoe leather. Some of the godliest men since I've been pastor here that we've had come in from other places. Godly men, holy men. Amen. And some of you have not responded. You sit there like a knot on a log and never had any spiritual move. Say, amen. Get up. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. Amen. Paul said in Galatians 5, amen, and 7, ye did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Then in Galatians 3 and 1, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Amen. In his writing to the Galatians, he is talking about being bewitched. It's like a black snake. Amen. But bewitches a bird. Amen. And he gets him in his... Are y'all still listening to me? That black snake will get that bird, amen, attention. And he'll bewitch it. Amen. He'll get a spell bound. Amen. And the bird just sits there as that snake bewitches him. And the snake goes closer to him as he looks into his eyes. And the birds all of a sudden, amen, sits there until that snake eventually swallows him. Amen. And that bird is helplessly in his mouth. That's what Paul is saying, amen, to these Galatians. Who's bewitched you? Amen. Somebody has not told you the truth. Amen. The devil has sown the seed of discord among the brethren. And here you are, amen, away from God. Help me here. Amen. Only he who endures unto the end shall be saved. Amen. Sometimes I think we have learned the Christian language and terminology, all that. We know how to sing Amazing Grace, amen, spontaneously. We know it by heart, amen. We know how to sing some of the songs from our lips, amen. But there's no change in the heart, and there's no commitment to Christ. Amen. Help me here. I'm trying to talk to y'all this morning about your last words are vitally important. Amen. 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 So be it, he is saying. Amen. I was reading this week about some of the people of history and their last words. I want to tell you, amen, to be lost on your dying bed without hope and without God is a horrible thing. Amen. Ultimate. Amen. The infidel. carried out his last words. He said, quote, "My principles has poisoned my friend. My extravagance has beggared my boy. My unkindness has murdered my wife. And is there another hell beside what I'm living in?" And then he went on to say, "Oh, thou blasphemed yet most indulgent Lord God, hell is a refuge if it hides me from your frowning face." To die lost, to die without God, to die unsaved. Amen. To die without a refuge in Jesus Christ is a horrible way to leave out of this world. But my heart breaks as I see people come to church, to the house of God, and they sing with everybody else. Amen. But they leave the house of God unchanged and unmoved. Amen. Have no desire to pray. Amen. Oh, I pray to God that you, amen, don't leave out of this world until you've made peace with God. Amen. I read about Sir Francis Newport. Amen. The head of the English Infidel Club. He said of those gathering around his dying bed, "Amen. You need not tell me there is no God, for I know there is one, and that I am in his angry presence. Need not tell me there is no hell, for I already feel my soul slipping into its fires. Wretches, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know I am lost forever." What a term. Amen. That's an infidel talking. And somebody said, "Well, I go to church," but I want to tell you, if you never got it fixed inside of your heart, you're just as lost as that infidel man. Professor J.H. Huxley, newspaper article referred to this striking story in a book of memoirs published by this J.H. Huxley. And through his last illness, he was a great agnostic. Amen. She said, in writing his last memoirs, she said that as he was laid dying, the last skeptic suddenly, amen, looked up, and at some sight invisible to the mortal eyes, and staring a while, as he looked toward the ceiling, saw what no human eye could see. And he said, "So it is true." I want to tell you, standing in the presence of an angry God. Quoted in Newsweek magazine some years ago now, Svetlana, Stalin's daughter, gives a description of her father's death. And we quote, "My father died a difficult and terrible death. God grants an easy death only to the just people. At what seemed the very last moment, he suddenly opened his eyes and cast a glance over everyone in the room. It was a terrible glance, insane glance, perhaps an angry and full of fear death, amen, glance. Then he lifted up his left hand as though he were pointing to something above and bringing down a curse upon everybody in the room. Amen. And the gestures were full of meanness. And the next moment, that wretched soul that did not know God, amen, was wrenched his life out of his body and he was gone. Voltaire, amen, on his deathbed addressed his doctor, and he said, "I am abandoned by God and man. He said, I'll give you, doctor, I'll give you half of what I'm worth if you'll give me 6 more months of life. And the doctor replied and said, sir, you'll not even live 6 weeks. And Voltaire replied, then I shall go to hell. What have you got to look forward to? I've given to you this morning some last words of, and the tragic words of men that lost, amen, without God and died lost. Let me tell you some good reports. Praise God. Is everybody happy? Say amen. Amen. Everybody here will remember a great man by the name of Claude Ely. Amen. Singing preacher. Got more people saved than probably anybody else of his time. Amen. He could sing people into the altars. A great man. Amen. Claude Ely was in his own church, and I preached for him, amen, years ago while he was still living. And at the altar service, and at the close of the altar service, they were still singing, amen, where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. And Claude Ely sat down on the organ bench, amen, and he was singing that song, where could I go but to the Lord, and fell over and was gone. Amen. I wished I could remember, and if I had a thought earlier this week, I would have called Brother Philip Horton in Richlands and asked him the preacher's name. And some of y'all will remember the story. A preacher, an older preacher man, preached in the old church building when Brother Philip Horton's daddy, amen, pastored there. Amen. And the old preacher man preached, amen, in that old church building. Amen. And he was growing weak as he was preaching. And as he's closing his message in preaching, and he said, I see white horses, and they've come for me. And the one with the silver saddle is mine. And gone. I want to tell you, what a way to leave out of here. What a way to leave out of here. Amen. Let me just tell you some others. Amen. There was, how many of y'all have read in history about a statesman by the name of Daniel Webster? He gave us the Webster's Dictionary. Amen. Daniel Webster was a godly man. And it was his deathbed at Marsh Field, amen, on October the 24th, 1852, his physician, Dr. Jeffries, knowing Daniel Webster's religious faith, suggested that he should read to him one of his favorite hymns. And Daniel Webster nodded consent, and Dr. Jeffries began reading William Cowper's, amen, hymn beginning, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. And he read on until he had finished the last stanza, which is, there then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Praise God. And feeble as Daniel Webster was, amen, with his clear voice as much as he could, he said, amen, 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 and was gone. I'd rather live like that. I'd rather leave out of here with a testimony of my life serving God to the last breath. Praise God. Amen. How many of y'all remember reading or hearing about a man by the name of Patrick Henry? Amen. Ah, what a man he was. Amen. Indeed, he was a noble man. He was known by every schoolboy, amen, that's ever been to school. Best known, perhaps, by his heroic exclamation, "Give me liberty or give me death." Praise God. Amen. The attorney, David Gibbs, I heard him give the story of that exclamation, "Give me liberty or give me death." Years ago, I heard David Gibbs. He was an attorney. He was a lawyer. Amen. Brilliant mind. And he said that Patrick Henry was riding his horse through the town of Culpeper, Virginia. And in those years, they had a town square. Amen. And as he rode his horse through the town, amen, there were five preachers, if I remember right, five or seven, I'm forgetting, but I believe it was five preachers that was being beat to death on the town square of Culpeper, Virginia. And he stood on, he did not stand, but he sat in the saddle of his horse and watched as those five preachers were beat to death because they preached the gospel. And that's where he got the inspiration for his speech. "Give me liberty or give me death." Amen. He was an orator of top rank. Amen. And he was wise and fearless statesman indeed. And he had an active and important role in forming the government of the United States, and particularly some of the provisions of the Constitution. However, amen, Patrick Henry lacked business ability in the sense of building up a personal fortune as some did. And so at his death in 1799, his family, amen, was surprised that when they opened his will to read, quote, "This is all the inheritance I can give my dear family. The religion of Jesus Christ will give one which will make you rich indeed." Amen. And he was gone. Ooh, I don't have much as far as this world's goods is concerned, but I'd like to leave my children and my grandchildren the heritage that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Praise God. There's a man by the name of Alvin Barkley. He was a former vice president of the United States. He was speaking at Washington and Lee University. And he said, I would rather be a servant in the house of the Lord than sit in the seat of the mighty. And as he said that, he fell over dead. What is your last words going to be remembered? How will you live your life in the end that your children, that is now a baby in your arms? Come on here. Amen. Help me here. Y'all listen to me. What are they going to remember as your last words? Let me tell you about D.L. Moody. Amen. I'm not going to talk to you much longer this morning, but I've got these things on my heart. Amen. D.L. Moody, everybody has heard of D.L. Moody, died in December 1899. Amen. He was ushered into that day that knows no night on that December 22nd night. These are some of his last words on this side of eternity. He said, "Life is very sweet to me, but there is no amount of power or wealth that could tempt me from the throne of God that the throne of God has reserved for me." At 6:30 in the morning, Amen. His son sitting by his bedside all night. Suddenly heard him speaking in slow and low words. And he bent over to hear his father, Moody, say, "Earth is disappearing and heaven opens before me." Amen. His son's first impulse was to try to arouse him from what he thought his daddy was having a dream. Amen. And D.L. Moody said, amen, as he looked at his son, "No, this is not a son, not a dream, Will. It is a beautiful. It is this. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go." Nurses and doctors administered heart stimulants. And as he regained consciousness, he feebly uttered, "No pain, no valley. If this is death, it's not bad at all. It's sweet." He sank low again, and more stimulants were administered. And again he rallied and said, "This is a strange thing. I've been beyond the gates of death to the very portals of heaven. And here I am back again. It's very strange. Let me go, please. Let me go." And he was gone. I read the story this week again. I've read it many times. There's a little boy by the name of Willie Leonard. They call him Little Willie. He took sick with a scarlet fever and of a diphtheral form, and he lived but 2 days. When asked about being sick, he replied, "Not very sick, but I think Jesus is going to come take me to heaven to live." And as he spoke, an angelic look of holy rapture and a radiant smile came over his face. And his father was called, and as he talked with him about it, that same glorious smile again illuminated his face. He then talked about the disposal of his little possessions, his toys, his books, his Sunday school cards and papers. Then he spoke of a new hat, which he had said he was not going to need it anymore. His mother talked with him on the beautiful crown awaiting him in heaven, and although her heart seemed bursting with grief, "Willie," said his mother, "no one can see Jesus when he comes except the one he comes after. So, when you see him, will you tell me?" Willie said, "Yes, Mom, if I can talk. And if not, I will point to him." The following is his mother's exact words of the homegoing of Little Willie. "As we laid him back on his pillow, his eyes remained wide open and fixed. We felt his feet and found them cold. I hastened and warmed blankets and wrapped them. We rubbed his hands, although his fingernails were blue. How could we believe that our little Willie was dying? Willie, our hope, our pride, the joy of our home. But so it was, and as we gathered round his bed, we wept as only parents can weep at such times and talked loving words to his lifeless form. He was lying very still when all at once one little hand was raised, and he pointed upward for a moment as his dear lips moved in an effort to speak. 'Willie?' His mother cried, 'Do you see Jesus?' He nodded his head and was gone." I I'd rather live like that. I'd rather live like that. Somebody said you get talked about, ridiculed, laughed at, scorned, old fogey, old fashioned. It's okay. It's okay. But one day, we lay our head on the pillow for the last time, and we'll have no regrets. No regrets. I remember, and Sister Savage will remember as well. It's been many, many years ago now. We were called, and we went over to the Mom and Dad Powers' home, little small house over on the other side of the mountain. And Dad Powers was dying, and we all got there. And what a tragedy, in a way, though he had lived. Amen. But he made things right in his last few years. He really fixed it right. And he was leaving out of here. His body was gasping for breath. And when he laid there, and we were there, and the family was there, Mom Powers, amen, got in the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues. And he was gone. What a way to leave. What a way to leave. I want to leave out of here right. How about you? Brother and Sister Clyde Woodard's last request that anybody knows. Clyde Woodard sat over here where Sister Shirley and Sister Ellen sit, and they always sat at the same place. Their last request that anybody knows about was, Lord, save my family. Also bless every member of our church. They live a holy life, and they'll meet us in heaven. Brother and Sister Pullen had a very similar request when they left out of here. My father, a lot of you folks that are here will remember my dad. Amen. He lived a rough life in his young years. Us children didn't know anything about his rough life and the way he lived in sin until just a little while before he died. And he shared some of his early years with us. And in his early years, he was run with the wrong crowd and wound up in prison on what they call the chain gang. Chains about his ankles and feet, legs. We didn't know anything about that till just a little while before he passed away. He shared his early life with us. But Mom and Daddy had gone down to North Carolina to visit some friends or maybe some kinfolks. I don't remember exactly. And they were on their way back, and Daddy took sick in the car. Mama was driving, and death was taking its toll. His heart was failing. They came to Harrisonburg, and Mama said, "You want me to stop at the hospital here?" He said, "No, take me home." When they got into Woodstock, crossed over the railroad tracks, there was a farmer's place there where they buy farm goods. And even when they passed over that railroad track, Daddy said, "I love you. How much longer do I have to suffer?" Mama said, "No, Lord only knows. We'll soon be home." And with that, Daddy was gone. He never got to the house. Mama stopped, went into that farmer's place. They brought an ambulance. But he was gone. How are you going to leave out of here? You don't have to be old to die. I preached funerals of babies still in the cradle. I preached funerals of adolescent years of children. I preached funerals of teenagers. I have preached funerals, amen, of young married people that here they are. You don't have to be old to die. I want to tell you, what is your last words going to be? Is it going to be like the infidels? I wished I'd have done better. I wished I'd lived better. Or is it going to be like the saints of God? That silver saddle is mine. Leave out of here. Save by grace, washed in the blood. Amen. Come marching. For yea, the Lord hath brought thee here this day to deal with your heart one more time. Your time is short, and my coming is near. Are you prepared? Yea, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Search your heart, for yea, the Lord thy God is calling you this day. This day is the day of salvation. Oh God. The Holy Ghost is in this place this morning. I felt a burden this week. This service. God knows your heart. God knows what's inside. And I pray this morning that you are here because God wants to deal with you one more time. He's tugging, he's pulling, he's pleading. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Not often I do this on Sunday mornings, but I feel an urgency. I feel like in my heart, as I have felt all week, somebody in this service needs to make a change in your life and in your heart. You're not fooling nobody. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling yourself. I wonder this morning as Marcia plays and sings softly, if there's one soul that would raise your hand, preacher, pray for me. I don't want to leave out of here lost. Want to be sure about my soul. May not have been all that I should be and ought to be, and I know I need to be. Let me see your hand this morning. Preacher, pray for me. God bless you. Is there another? I'm waiting on you. Holy Ghost is waiting on you. heaven's waiting on you. Would you raise your hand, preacher? Pray for me. I'd like to leave out here with a good word and a good testimony and a good last word. Is there one here tonight, this morning? Is there one in this service that will slip your hand up with these? Say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Is there another? I'm waiting on you. God's waiting on you. Sing, Marcia. God bless you. God bless you.
We've got to go back to living true.
Oh, God.
Going back to the absolute.
Holy, holy. Holy is the Lord.
Back to where the church stood strong.
Is there another in this congregation that will raise your hand, preacher? Preacher,
there is a wrong.
God's dealing with me.
Back to where
God's dealing with my heart. I want to pray. God bless
See
you. Is there another?
Is like oh, day God. And night.
How about it? God bless you, sir.
We're going back to things above.
Oh, Holy Ghost.
We're going back.
Walk the aisles of this sanctuary this morning. Is there another that'll raise your hand, preacher?
Whatever happened.
You're reaching for me today. I need God. I need God's help. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you, son. I'm waiting on you. The Spirit of God's walking the aisles of this sanctuary this morning. There's a pleading. There's a tugging. There's a pulling.
Got back to living by the holy book.
Would you raise your hand, preacher?
No compromise.
Preacher.
Without getting
it's me. Would you join these others that have raised their hand? Pray for me. Pray for me. I feel an urgency this morning that I've not always felt on Sunday mornings, but I feel like somebody in this place, somebody in this service this morning is closer to eternity than you ever dreamed you were. Is there another here this morning that will raise your hand, preacher? Pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me, preacher. Saints, are you praying? I need to pray in church right now. I mean, saints of God, hold on to the altars. Amen. Is there another here in this service this morning? Preacher, pray for me. Raise your hand right now. We're getting ready to come pray. How about it? How about it? How about it? I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Oh, God. Oh, God, as we come to this altar to pray this morning, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit reach where we cannot reach, oh, God. Plead with that heart. As only your Holy Spirit is able to do. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Those that raised your hand, you want to come pray? Come on, the altar's open this morning. Come on, come on. Come on, sir. Come on. Amen.